This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington. What I want to reiterate what happened last segment. People have taken this the wrong way. From the 817, seems kind of reckless to make a declarative statement that Rocker is our opening day starter in 2025. But I trust you guys. That is not what happened by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what's going to happen right now? We go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Of course, Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, I want to start with Bills and Dolphins. Are you excited about this game? What do you expect? And how many people are prepared? Because it feels like this happens every week. There's a game like this. It happened last week with the Peacock game. I can't believe it's on another channel. It's an Amazon Prime exclusive. So are people going to clutch their pearls tonight, not understanding this is a third year that Amazon is going to do this, or are they just going to go to social media and bitch about it anyway?
Well, Kevin, I think it's the third year that Amazon's done
this. Yes, it is.
So I don't know if you've heard that or not.
I have.
But this is one of those, like, you've been prepared for this for a while. You're either missing Thursday night football or
yes,
you have Amazon. And most everybody has Amazon at this point for the shipping. I know that's been a big factor.
Not necessarily for the – they have some good shows. But
I like a lot of their shows.
I think probably the shipping is what drives it more than, like, their content.
That's where whenever we – I don't want to say it. Okay, I'm going to say it.
Last season.
Remember the drop of my wife is –
no.
Remember me saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say it.
What did you say?
That drop that we used to have that I finally got cleared off out of the computers. That was why she got it for shipping, and I was like, really, that's all we get for that? And now it's turned into a very beneficial thing. No, I think people are going to be okay with it, and I think they're going to be excited about it. I'm very interested in a couple different things tonight in this game specifically. One is, I was talking to my kid this morning about this game. He wants to sit down and watch it with me tonight because he's now, like, all into football.
Sure.
And I was like, look, you're going to get to see one of the most explosive offenses in the league. And he goes, what about the other team? What about their offense? I said, it's a one-man show. Like, it is literally...
He's a hell of a dude.
Yeah, though. It is the Josh Allen show. So, like, this is going to be fun for you to see. But when we get to tonight, you got Achan, who's dealing with the ankle.
Now there is optimism, yes, that he can go. I know for some people that's probably not good enough. But Mostert's out.
Yeah, Mostert's out. So who's their other one? Jeff Wilson Jr., go Mean Green. So, like, and he's one of those... Both of those guys came from that San Francisco system with Mike McDaniels and said, we can run here. And he's fast. He's strong. He's a good secondary option to have there. So I think their running game is going to get it after it tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, Corey, I know you know this, but from the 254, so excited to hear y'all are in New Orleans today. I just drove here from Baton Rouge.
Nope.
Where can I find you guys? We're at Beignets.
No, that's not.
Off of South Bourbon Street,
no,
if you want to come see us. Is that, that's
we are
not,
in Arlington
that
right
is
now,
not
Kevin.
Accurate.
We have some Tolos here with us right now, and lunch is underway. And
Shakerton's in Arlington.
We got our friends at Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey out here hanging out. And are they... What do they got going on over there? It looks like they got a little barrel set
hey,
up.
Hey, stay focused. You
right.
still have to do this show.
Hey,
other people can come
know.
Here and do other fun
come
things.
Come out here and do other fun things and also get your lunch on. The power lunch is available today. So, yeah, no, man, don't go to New Orleans right now because
okay.
we are not there.
All right, gotcha. What do you think about this exchange? It's delightful, but also I'm like, come on, Tyler. You didn't see where he was going with this? So this is Micah Parsons and Tyler Guyton talking about how did it go. Micah, how was it? Tyler, it was good. Micah said he's crazy good, talking about Myles Garrett. Tyler, he's freaky, he's fast, he's strong. And then Micah said, you got the best two out of the way. You got to know what that means. Tyler goes, what do you mean? And Micah goes, me and Miles. Now you can go against everybody. So, like, I think a lot of people,
like,
I do think that's fun back and forth, but it's an interesting point is going up in training camp, you see Micah Parsons again and again and again. First game of the regular season, you see Myles Garrett. I'm not, like, obviously Watt or Crosby. There are other, like, really quality ends out there, but it's it's hard to find people that are better than that that you're going to go up against.
Imagine coming into the league and having to block DeMarcus Ware as a rookie and having to deal with that. And like the Cowboys have had that good experience, and you know, you get some reps against them. They're different players for sure. Like Max Crosby's best play is what? His bull rush. Myles Garrett is very fast and strong, can get out wide, but he's elusive because he's so fast and big at the same time. So that's one of those like elusive things along with the strength that comes with it. And each matchup is going to be different for you. And I like that he had Micah versus Myles Garrett. Now he gets another one to go in with this. But he needs to definitely continue to work on staying square, getting out of his stance really, really well. Work on his mechanics. Keep doing that, staying square, not lunging too much, because you saw that a couple different times. His footwork's going to be key this year, man. That's going to be an absolute key for Dak Prescott, too, because Dak doesn't need any pressure coming from a side that he can't see.
Now, I'm going to give you an update on Deshaun Watson and his attorney. Listen for the part of irrelevant information in the statement that he gave to Pro Football Talk. All right? So this is Tony Busby, who, you know, we talked about a lot 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Steve Busby's nephew, I believe.
I don't know if that is the case. Okay. I cannot confirm nor deny that. He's talking about Deshaun Watson. He said, "We intend to interview with the NFL in 2 weeks." Okay, that's good. I need to know
about
that.
About what?
About Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
But then he says this. "This coming week, however, I have to go to the Coast Guard hearings in South Carolina regarding the Titan submersible implosion because I represent a victim's family from that." That's great. Irrelevant information to this case. All right? And then he adds, "When I return, I intend to make my client available for interview along with the two individuals who spoke to her immediately after the assault. I also have video to share that will be pertinent to the case."
Oh, my gosh.
So
there it sounds like there's a lot more to be done with this case.
Indeed it does. But and I just, like, I'm not.
This is interesting, Kevin, because a couple years ago, maybe even last year, I was getting Deshaun Watson fatigue. And I felt like I was away from it, and now here it is again, and it's similar stuff coming back into the world. And it's like, oh my gosh, this guy, like, so much bad involved there.
And that's the thing that seems it's tough across the board, because, like, I hope he understands why people would not give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Around. But Busby says we're going to talk about it after he has other stuff to do that he included in his release for some reason.
The implosion of a submarine.
Yeah, and I was also intrigued because it was the Coast Guard hearings. There's, like, actually a lot more I want to know about that. It just didn't feel relevant to this particular case. And then they said they have video to go along with it. I know usually we wait for Forgiveness Friday, but I think this is stupid. Jacksonville Stadium is called Everbank, right?
Okay.
They're changing the name of it for the home opener to Trevor Bank.
Jacksonville.
Yeah,
and Everbank, like, is Everbank changing all of their banks to that
for
the day or
so.
For the week?
I don't. Maybe. They just throw a TR on the front of it. Like, what are we doing?
I'd kind of like it, dude.
Stop
it. Yeah, man. It's a great cross promotion. I think that's a brilliant idea.
That's like the time we almost renamed our station 105.3 The Hand.
Yeah, when Tony Romo broke his pinky.
By the way, that is a real story. You might not remember it, but that is an absolutely real story. We were going to rename it that for the day.
That. We need to
open up
about that.
That's
next
true.
Time.
We also put out a press release saying we had the prettiest lineup.
We did.
In all of radio.
We did.
Which is confusing.
Well, Kevin, we now have the Twitch and YouTube. So
that's true.
You get to look at our
faces.
We didn't
at the time. I'm sorry that you have to look at our faces. But
I think that's a smart cross promotion. It's a lot of fun. It's goofy to have, but you better win if you're going to do that. If you're going to do something like that, you better win. Otherwise, people are turning that around on you on the way out.
Not to spite Mike, but this makes me want Jacksonville to lose.
Okay. I understand
that. Lose badly.
Wow.
Because I think they're also playing Cleveland. So if Cleveland looked good, you'd be like, hey, we just beat a quality team. Because if Cleveland loses again, then you're going to be like, oh, crap, they're not very good. And so, I want them to lose, like, by a lot. I'm not going to lie about that. All right.
Hater.
First head coach to get fired in the NFL.
Did it already happen?
No. The betting odds.
Oh, okay.
Now, at one point, Mike McCarthy was the heavy favorite. But now He's all the way down to tied for sixth.
How much do you think that Prescott's contract helped that? I think it really did help it. And because one of the key factors to Mike McCarthy being ousted early in the season would be he lost the locker room. And now that Dak is here, Dak doesn't want he's here for good. He doesn't want anything to screw up this season. So he's not going to let the leadership group let somebody fall apart for Mike McCarthy just because Mike McCarthy's in the last part of his contract. So I think this is a significant factor that Dak got signed and CeeDee got signed. If they're on the same side, they're not going to let that thing fracture in that locker room to let the coach go.
But another important part of this, Corey, is if it's not Mike McCarthy, who's at the top of the list?
Dabes.
Brian Daboll is the leader to be first head coach fired. Do you think that is a fair assessment?
I think it's unfair to him, but he did. You know, he was there whenever they said we're signing the big contract for Daniel Jones. I think he's a decent coach. I think they have a miserable quarterback, and I'll be quite honest too. The rest of that team doesn't look very good either.
Maybe
that all is on him and the head coach.
I do think this is probably the right thing to say. Did you go? He goes, Daniel Jones. He said, "I understand the fans' frustration, but I'm worried about the opinions of people in this building."
Oh my God,
that's the right thing to say. But I also think like they probably have a similar opinion in the building. Just the thought.
Yeah, they do.
Would you possibly watch the Manning cast for the Super Bowl? Like, I know the Manning cast has been really successful, even if the ratings dip at the start of the season. But when ESPN has the Super Bowl in 2027, they're going to do the Manning cast, which I think is probably a good idea.
As an alternate program?
Yeah. They do the same thing with the national championship for college football and everything. They have all kinds of options. Do you think people are going to lock in on that? They're going to be like, nah, I need to go with the traditional broadcast for the Super Bowl.
I'm more interested than, Kevin, what their regular season numbers are like. Because anybody that watches that consistently will probably be like, now I want to watch this again because they like that vibe. And I think the way they bring in some of their guests, when they're talking football with their guests, it's really good. When they talk about other stuff, I get bored with it and I'm like, okay, I'm going back to the football game. But I think that they could get some numbers, but I don't think it's going to really put much of a dent in the Super Bowl's numbers, because the Super Bowl's numbers, Kevin, come from casual fans or people that aren't even football fans. They're just there for the party, growing that. So that's where those numbers come from. But I think this is a good alternate for anybody that really wants to dive in deeper on stuff.
This is a totally serious question. Would there be a big dent in the ratings if it was a special edition of the Manning cast and the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl and then the Manning cast included Taylor Swift and Jason Kelce?
Yes.
A pretty...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now,
I could see
Kelce
that.
Does work for ESPN,
That's
too.
That's true.
So what about Kylie? Kylie Kelce, Jason's wife, and Taylor, since they're friends.
Yeah. We could figure that out, or you could show her arguing with some lady who overstepped about getting an autograph or whatever that lady wanted.
Or you could have a really good debate and have Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes on at the same time, because some people are his or her fans and some people are the others.
That's going to be the next, like, cultural debate. Like, it's really weird that we tried to have Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese as a culture debate versus a basketball thing. Mm-hmm. Is it now going to be Taylor Swift versus Brittany Mahomes, so like, as a surrogate for the presidential election?
Yeah, that's the way it is, Kevin. Because when it comes to politics,
I have no thoughts. Mm-hmm. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Shakerton's. Coming up next, will Mike McCarthy show up at the podium? But also, if not, we'll do something fun for you next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Let's take you to Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy, brought to you by Ford and North Texas Ford Dealers. Ford is the best in Texas.
Feeling to be able to do anything for you today?
They're still going to be working with Britt today, and then we'll see how the early part goes. Potentially, get some work at some point into the practice. I think we're going to make a decision right after the media leaves. So.
Yeah, I'm Shoto with The Athletic. You guys didn't make a ton of moves in March, but you had Eric Kendricks. Was that just kind of a no-brainer because of Zimmer? And then have you gotten what you were expecting when you guys did sign him?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Eric, that was a, you know, that was a big get for us, especially the timing of it and everything that went into that. So, and you could see the impact that he made on game day. But you know, his impact was felt immediately when we start installing the defense. So, yes, you know, can't say enough about him. You know, he's off to a great start. He's just an awesome fit for us. True pro, same guy every day. You know, just as far as, you know, working relationship from what I see. But, yeah, he's made a big impact on our defense.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. We talk a lot about Micah Parsons around here, but it seems as if DeMarcus Lawrence had a pretty good game. Just your thoughts about how steady he's been.
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence, D-Law was our game ball winner. So, you know, and obviously Micah had a heck of a game too, so it was part of that conversation. But, you know, when you really break down his play, I mean, his pressures, you know, his ability to attack the football both in the run and the pass rush is, I mean, he's a role model, you know, for our younger players, and his production numbers speak for themselves. But yeah, D-Law had a hell of a game.
So game balls, are you doing it differently how you present that? I don't think you did one after the game.
Yeah, but I don't recall. Very rarely do we do one after the game. I mean, it's something unique. We have always looked at the tape, and the coaches vote on the game balls. So I hope you guys are okay with that. I mean, because, you know, coaches, they put together a plan. I think they have a pretty good idea who plays well. So we figure that's a good process, and we present it to the team on Mondays. So.
Saad,
East of the Athletic. Mike, I'm sure it varies by position, but what have you seen from the biggest adjustment for rookies, not just on the field but off the field, to becoming pros that first year?
Just, you know, establishing your routine. There's so much that goes into that. You know, and number one, just look at the length. You know, just, I mean, they go into your senior season. Obviously, they put a lot into that. And then as soon as that's over, they got to train for the draft. And so, I mean, so they're kind of on this nonstop, you know, spinning wheel, and it's the busiest year of their life from athletics, you know, standpoint. So I think just staying in tune. So, I mean, there's so many things that go into that, you know, and that's why, you know, they talk about the rookie wall, and that's, I've seen it happen. So that's why, I talk so much about scheduling and, you know, getting into a rhythm, you know, just, you know, get your routine in order. You know, that's why we spend the time that we do and really rely on our veterans in the locker room to make sure that they're letting the guys, you know, the young guys know to fill in the blanks in the gray area when things come up.
You've raved about this rookie class, and you talk about the veterans, but specifically having veterans at the position, like Guy and BB, have the guys on the offensive line, Leah Fowle at the linebackers, and Carson at cornerback. How much does that play a role? Do you delegate a lot of your messaging through the positions like that?
Well, delegate messaging, I mean, messaging is constant from the head coach all the way through the whole coaching operations in locker room. It's important. That's why you have leadership councils. That's why you have, you know, coaching staff meetings, and because it's critical, because you want the same level of accountability through every position room. But the reality of it is, in the NFL, and it's been like this as long as I've been here, you know, the offensive line room is a lot different than the defensive back room. So, and just from a personality standpoint, so you have team operation, you know, focal points that need to be the same, but you got to be in tune with the fact that personalities, teaching methods are really different to different. I mean, you go to the quarterback room, that's going to be different than the D-line room. So just being in touch with that, you know, actually one of the big points that O2X, the human performance company that was in here, they couldn't believe how different each room was, you know, compared to their world, how everything has to be the same. It's an interesting component of group dynamics that you have to be on top of.
Garrett
Bodell, CBS Sports. Mike, you've talked about with Dak the growth, and he talked about in spring, he's at the 500 level, or, you know, second year of the offense. What are some check marks or evaluation points you'd like to see him hit throughout the year to really display that kind of growth?
I think the biggest thing now, when you reach a standard of play, is just playing to that level with the consistency of it. You know, you want to stay away from the peaks and valleys. You know, I think that's the next step.
Ed,
Mike Ed Werder, WFAA. Taysom Hill came into the NFL with you in Green Bay. That was his first training camp. What was your evaluation of him then, and how has he evolved into sort of a multi-role player that he is now?
I mean, we thought he was a hell of a quarterback. You know, number one, he frankly, you know, I think every year when you sit down at the end of training camp, I know it's the way I've done it. You have, you know, 58, 59, 60, you know, there's different numbers each year, obviously, where you players, you feel like they've really earned the opportunity to be on the 53. And Taysom was one of those guys. I mean, he clearly played well. I think he may have led the league, the whole NFL, in rushing in the preseason. I mean, he played extremely well that year. And frankly, we thought we'd try to slide him onto the practice squad, you know, and that lasted about 2 minutes. So, and then he's still in New Orleans doing, but his career, you know, what he's done is, it's been awesome to watch from afar. But, you know, he came in as an older player, obviously very mature, but, you know, I really liked him as a quarterback, you know, and I think what, you know, with Sean and now Clint's doing with him down there is awesome to watch, you know, because I think just like anything in life, the more value that you can add, obviously your job security will go a little longer. So he's mastered that, but he's a weapon. I mean he is a weapon. He does a lot of things. You know, he's a bigger man than when I had him in training camp. But like I said, I thought he was a very good young quarterback prospect at that time.
Aaron.
Aaron Kaslin's Lone Star Live. Mike, you said, I think on Monday, that you would have liked to get Deuce Vaughn more touches. Why is he somebody that you want to make sure you include? And then also, how did he grade out on his
game? Well, the biggest thing I thought about Monday was getting the running backs more touches, and obviously Deuce would have been one of them, you know. If you look at the second half, I mean, when you know, our performance on third down, I mean, we didn't have enough touches, period, you know, for the whole offense. So, but yeah, definitely. I mean, Deuce is up on the 48, 49, you definitely want them involved. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, ball distribution is something that we spend a lot of time on projecting, but the reality is you got to go play the game, and third down usually factors that.
How did Deuce grade out on the special team snaps
that you played? I'd say he did fine. Yeah, he did fine.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Mike McCarthy right here on 105.3 The Fan. Not as many necessarily Saints-based questions as I would have thought.
Man, that Taysom Hill thing was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he said he got him on the practice squad, liked him as a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we talked with Ross Jackson earlier today.
He's everywhere.
And, yeah, he played seven different spots.
He's Roy Kent,
in the opener. Except people don't have vulgar chants at him.
Not yet.
Or for him.
Not yet.
Okay, fair. But yeah, that was interesting. I guess I don't particularly recall that as well.
I got a question,
yes,
that I would love to ask McCarthy. And maybe next week, Kevin, because you've already submitted a question to him.
Yes.
And now he's showing up
true
early. But
he was... Never mind. Nope, I'm not doing that.
But I'm kind of curious if they would ever consider using Trey Lance in some sort of form like a Taysom Hill. Like, I don't know if he can catch the ball at all, but he's so good at running. He's such a good ball carrier. I wonder if that's there, or if that's just not in his mind. Because that was something that Sean Payton brought in, and the Saints said, let's just keep it around. And I just wonder if that's something that maybe McCarthy's never thought of, that he's like, you know what, the skill set's actually useful for something.
Now, what I want to know is, did you think I would play this potential audio that Alex got right here?
There's Hintz, turned to the lineup today, and they score! Hintz with the setup, Robertson the finish. That's his first goal in 11 games, and the Stars have pulled to within one.
I know it is the middle of football season, and baseball season is winding down, but I wanted to throw this out there. We got more details about the Victory Plus app.
Okay.
So it's the hype videos and the commercials and everything like that are up. It launched Wednesday, which was yesterday, and feature broadcasts will begin in the preseason for the Stars on September 21st, which just so happens to be my birthday, if you're wondering about that. But they're going to show 69 of the Stars' 82 regular season games on the platform, and it's going to start in the preseason, which I think is a good idea, not only to give people their kind of you know, preseason hockey fix, but also I think it's a good idea to maybe potentially work out some of the bugs on the app. I'm sure they've run all kinds of tests and everything like that, but you still want to run it live, see what kind of traffic you get, see what kind of issues that you run into. But I know folks are excited. People that have been mad at Bally for several years now. Well, Bally no longer has the Stars. They no longer have the Mavs. And it feels like an overwhelming likely probability that they're not going to have the Rangers either. So this is a cool avenue. It's free, and it's launched.
Man,
are you on the app now?
I am looking at the app right now, and I got the FAQs up right now, Kevin. Question, is Victory Plus really free? Like, I think that's always your – if somebody says free, you're like, really? Come on, what's the catch here?
Okay, I want the answer to that, but I also want to know, do you ever think they should put an FAQ in that section that says, what does FAQ stand for? Just in case you're like, I don't know.
Well,
frequently
actually,
asked questions.
It does say frequently asked questions.
Right. I just didn't know if that ever came
but
up.
But yes, Kevin, free, fans first mentality. And that means we want you to be able to watch your content from your favorite teams in an easy and budget friendly way.
And I just want to point out, I think that should include the statement for now. You know, like, I appreciate that they're doing this. I am stoked that people are going to have this opportunity. Like, I had DirecTV, so it didn't affect me as much. But I'm stoked people are going to have this opportunity. I'm just curious. I would love to know more about the business plan of how much targeted advertising they have to be able to put out there, how many users they have to have on the app, or what kind of frequent viewership they have to keep it as a free app. I think eventually it will become a charge app, just because that's what seems like every app is like, hey, if you're streaming, it's going to go up little by little or maybe in big chunks at a time. So I think eventually that's going to happen. But for now, how many Stars fans are out there is like, I couldn't watch the games before, now I can.
Now I get to do it for free. I do, Kevin, I'm looking right now, and it does say you can, like, at the App Store and Google Play. I don't know if it, on my LG TV, is it in my App Store? Can I go get that there? I'll have to
seems
really
like
dig into the
your
FAQs.
Research last night.
More FAQs are going to be on this page soon, I'm betting, Kevin.
See what you can do about
Thank you.
That. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live from Shakerton's in Arlington. The Power Hour, lunch hour, has begun. And coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105 Through the Fan.
17-3 Dallas. There's a delayed blitz tipped up in the air. Intercepted on the deflection by Parsons. The interception
Eric
was grabbed by Eric Kendricks.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington. And right now we bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Now, I know we got a lot to get to. I want to go back to Jake Ferguson. I don't think anyone questions how tough of a human being he is. But his statement that I loved, at his pain for the knee on Sunday was a 10. Now it's a 0. And he goes, thankfully, it's a little bone bruise. I don't even think it's a grade 1. So even he is trying to downplay the actual physical pain that he's in. Does this lead you to believe that he will play on Sunday? Or do you think cooler heads will prevail and they'll be like, dude, we know you're tough and you could probably play, but maybe we should just wait a week?
I think there's a lot of stuff that needs to be checked out before that decision goes either way. I think he'll continue working with the trainers today, and they'll, along with Nealon, by the way,
yes,
with the calf injury, and then maybe towards the end of practice they'll see if they're capable of doing anything. This would be the padded practice day of the week, so it's kind of their heavy work day. So I think they'll, you know, reserve the right to see just where they're at. We were able to see both guys doing the rehab work on the cords, and both seem to be moving well, but it's kind of straight line stuff, you know, premeditated steps, so it's not playing football. So we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, the rest of that, when he did kind of a press conference there yesterday in the locker room, it was like, well, you know, got to be smart. We'll see what I can do. If I can play to my standard, then I'll be out there. But if I can't, then there's no sense trying to play football. So I think he was being very realistic about it. So, you know, there's part of me that thinks you could possibly play through the bone bruise pain.
For Ferguson,
the MCL, when it gets a little tear in it, it'll let you know that, well, no, you can't really do that. So I think that's going to be the deal that'll most affect his ability to either play or not play.
Mickey, I might be a little more concerned with Nealon than what the plan would be. Because that's a young player who's probably thinking, I got to be out on that field. He might rush it and all that stuff, but I'm a little more concerned with what the plan would be if he can't be out there.
Well, you know, one of the things they used him at, I know he got a bunch of snaps, but it wasn't all at defensive end. They had moved him inside on some nickel pass rush situations too. So I think they've got some guys that can do that. And, you know, at the defensive end spot, you know, if he's not good to go, I don't know if that means Micah Parsons has to play more snaps at a true defensive end. If they would have to keep Tyrus Wheat active to take some of those snaps, it'll be interesting to see how they would compensate for him, because I thought for a rookie playing his first game and the number of snaps he played, I thought he played awfully well. I don't, you know, numbers doesn't really matter as much as being active, doing your job, setting the edge, getting pressure where other guys can benefit from what you did on that side of the field. So, that'll be a good one to watch. But again, you know, just judging how both guys were working on the cords, I think that gives you hope, but hope doesn't heal.
Where do we stand with John Stevens? Because I know we were just talking about the replacement plan essentially for Marshawn Nealon. The plan in place would, of course, be you would go with Schoonmaker, and McCarthy said he's a jack of all trades. But where is John Stevens and his hamstring?
Yeah, he was still rehabbing. And I don't know that, he was doing a little bit of running, so that was encouraging. But again, he would be more of a receiving threat than a true tight end needing to block. I think, Brevin Spann Ford would get a bigger role as a true tight end. Okay. And then the other thing that they can do if they didn't bring Princeton Fan off the practice squad is, you know, give Hunter Lipke more snaps and kind of in that H-back role, kind of lining up off the line of scrimmage on the edge of the offensive tackle. And you can, you know, kind of manipulate that loss of one of the tight ends by using him a little bit more, not as a downfield pass threat,
yeah,
of course, but yeah, more of a, you know, from blocking standpoint and doing some things on the edge that you can throw in those little swing passes to try to do something different if you don't have your main threat at tight end.
Well, and then, you know, on their offensive side, Alvin Kamara is that key feature for them. Although Derek Carr looked pretty good throwing the deep ball.
Hold on. Don't say that. You said you still
Panthers,
don't believe.
The Panthers stink, by the way.
You don't believe in Derek Carr.
The Panthers are terrible. I just saw one play. But, you know, this Clint Kubiak offense is a little bit different to deal with, but it's very similar to kind of, you know, what you're seeing with the Dolphins, what you've seen with the Niners, because that's where that all came from.
Yeah, he's kind of a chip off Shanahan's block. They ran for 180 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got my attention.
And
go ahead.
To go along with that, Kamara, 5 of 5 for catching all of his passes out of the backfield. I know that's a passing yard.
Right.
But, like, that obviously feels like an extension of the run game as well.
Well, just get the ball in his hands anywhere you can, right?
Yeah,
and
it looks like
he's healthy. You know, he's dealt with some injury situations the last couple of years. But, boy, when he's healthy, he's a load. And this will be a very good test for this defense because they'll kind of stretch the run game. You know, it's and Mike was talking about, you got only so many people to cover only so many gaps. It's going to take a pretty good effort with everybody kind of being where they're supposed to be and being able to make plays. But, you know, I keep harping to go back to last year when they got in trouble. It was teams running on them. And I don't know that that was a great test from Cleveland to say, well, you know, if we take away Watson's running yards, which were 39, you would have held the Browns to 54 yards rushing. So that kind of gives you some hope. But I think we got to continue seeing a consistent ability to stop the run against quality teams. And, hey, this is a quality team. You know, they finished the season strong last year. You know, and as Mike McCarthy pointed out, you know, 4-1, and then they win this one. So they've won five of their last six games they were a playoff quality team. They didn't qualify, but they were playing well at the end of the season. So I think this is another good test to see if, they have improved against the run. Unlike last year in the six losses, teams ran pretty effectively over him, a couple for more than 200 yards, right? This will be a good one to see how those guys hold up in the middle, and then are you setting the edge? And I think the one thing that maybe got I don't know if it got away from a lot of people, but, you know, we see what Parsons did and Overshown and Kendricks, yeah. But the game ball, as Mike pointed out today, went to DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, the old hand, boy, he sets the edge and he causes problems on the backside of runs. And it's like, okay, you want to double team Parsons on one side? You're going to single block him the whole game? I don't think so. I think he's really key in this run defense for them to be able to set edges, keep things inside, and then hopefully your linebackers can come in and clean up.
Did you like his little back and forth with the media there, McCarthy, that is, about the logistics of when they give out the game ball and how he feels people were mistaken about how that goes down?
I think I quit taking notes at that point. Sorry.
All right. It still happened. Now, the way you describe this, Mick, and I don't want to simplify this too much, but
yeah.
It kind of feels like the Saints and the Cowboys are both looking at one another to get out the same thing. What I mean by that is, like, the Panthers look like they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Who knows about the Browns at this point? I feel like the Cowboys and the Saints are looking at each other both and being like, hey, you look like you might be pretty good. Hey, you look like you might be pretty good. Let's see how we match up with that.
I think you're exactly right, and I don't think anybody should take the Saints for granted, right? Like, well, it's the Saints. No, this is going to be a really good test. The way, you know, let's just throw away Carolina. Because
sure.
They did to Carolina what you should do if you're
sure.
a good team,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You just pounded them.
Yep. And
scored 47 points.
That's the most in the NFL, yeah.
Right? And I would imagine the 180 yards rushing probably number one also. I'm just guessing. I didn't
I
look at it.
I could see that. I didn't look that up either. I'm
That's
sorry.
A lot, though, right?
Yes, yes.
So, I just think what the Cowboys need to worry about is themselves, how they play. And then, you know, maybe that takes care of business because, you know, teams are going to come in with strengths just like the Saints are going to if they're not waterlogged, right?
Yeah, so we talked with
the coaching staff stayed at the facility.
They had a slumber party, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, which is what we were trying to do for the stadiums around here. The other thing we did learn is it looks like they're pretty confident in Marshawn Lattimore, which obviously if you're a Saints fan or the organization, you have to be excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. If they can, you know, he didn't practice. It's a hamstring. So those are, you know, sometimes you just kind of let it, well, okay, let's see what we, you know, can get him to the game. Maybe not practice a lot. But
sure.
Just get them to Sunday. You know, one of the things on their offensive line, you know, their starting guard, Lucas Patrick, had a toe injury and he didn't practice. And their rookie left tackle was limited with a back. I'll try and do it. Talese Fuaga.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's Talese Fuaga.
All right.
But you're pretty close.
I'll take you on that.
Yeah.
I was paid to correctly type their names, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Sure. Fair.
But, well, you know, so it's two rookie left tackles,
yeah,
you know, in the game.
I am absolutely excited about that.
So it'll be interesting how tough their offensive line is. I think from, you know, what I was researching, that, you know, they were questioned pretty heavily in the offseason. Like, whoa, I don't know about this offensive line, but, you know, they did a good job the first game. Now we'll see against this Cowboy defense. But I think that's maybe going to be the key to this game, not to give away, you know, keys to the game already, but how well the Cowboys' defensive front plays against that offensive line of the Saints that did a good job the first game, but really weren't tested.
Just as long as you're ready with that prediction tomorrow, Mick, we'll be good to go. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the reminder. I'll put it on my to-do list.
Go. He's gonna go home and just think about it all night.
That's
all I'm
asking
for. Probably wake up
for
at 3 a.m. Oh, now what's that score?
You can text us then. All right, thank you very much, Mick. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Have a good day.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Corey, quick football note for you, but it is college football. The demise of the Pac-12 perhaps has been overstated. Now, it is true. It has two teams. It is the Oregon State and Washington State. But the reinforcements are coming in 2026. Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Fresno State will all join the Pac-12 for the 2026-27 year. Now, here's my question, Corey. Do you think you're allowed to be in this new conference if you don't have state at the end of your name?
Doesn't sound like it.
Because it's Oregon State, Washington State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Colorado State, and Boise State.
Yeah, all those are states.
So
how's that going to affect
Stanford?
The SEC?
What? Probably not.
Oh, no.
Right? I feel like the SEC is like, that's fine.
They're like, we're okay. Yeah. All the rest of you guys.
We brought in Texas and Oklahoma. Like, we're going to be good. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington, where the Lunch Power Hour is underway. Coming up next, the over-under statistical overreactions to the Cowboys' season opening win. Let's do it next right here on the Fan.